Thank you, Anne. For the rest of the time together, we're going to have a talk from me and a short reading from the Bible, and then we'll sing two songs back to back at the end before we'll leave and parents go to collect youngsters from their groups. Can we have a slide, please? Thank you. This says God's plan for history. This is according to Jesus at the end of Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, part one, the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And of course, we read that that has happened. That has happened in the New Testament era, and that's what the Gospels record for us. And Jesus goes on to say, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. That means the message of turn back, repentance, and God will forgive. He will welcome you. That message must be preached in the name of Jesus, reflecting who he is and what he has done. Now, we are living in that second stage of history. So according to Jesus, the Son of God, two phases for history, all the preparation and then the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, to suffer, to die, rise from the dead. That phase has been completed. What's left to be done? The message of Jesus is now to be told around the world to all nations. And that's how we're involved in God's great plan, if we're his people, passing on that message to our children, to our neighbors, to people at work, to our friends. And that's why we're getting involved in the Passion for Life program. That's why we seek to get the gospel message of Jesus to neighbours through Friendship Team, through our Thursday morning First Steps group for mothers and toddlers and other things that we do. And so we're going to be thinking about that for the next few weeks. I think I need to put this up. Over the next 6 weeks, Jean, are you going to be able to see that there? Is that also out of your sight? Do you want to move along a bit? I hope everyone can see this board. In the next 6 weeks, we are going to be looking at the summary of this message, the message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, turn back to God for forgiveness and to have life with him through Jesus. And I want to show you a diagram that I'm hoping will be really useful for us as a church family to get clear on this, and we're going to keep coming back to this over these 6 weeks. And this diagram sets out the framework of these six sessions. So I'll split my board up. And don't worry, once I've gone through this, we will then have the Bible reading that we're normally used to in church, and I will talk from that passage. But I wanted to show you first this framework for understanding the message about Jesus. And the Bible tells us God is the loving ruler of the world. So drawn God as a crown there, the world as a circle. He made the world, he made everything in the world, he made us as rulers of the world under him. And in the New Testament, there's a picture, an image in the book of Revelation of all the creation bowing down to God. And they're saying to God, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they have their being. That's in Revelation chapter 4. But that's not what the world looks like now, that good order. Because we all reject the rule of God by trying to live life our own way without him. But we fail to rule ourselves or society or the world. And the New Testament says it in this way, all have sinned. There is no one who does right, not even one. That's in Romans chapter 3. Well, what will God do about this rebellion? God will not put up with this rebellion forever. God's punishment for rebellion is death and then judgment, where he shuts rebels out from his presence and his goodness. The book of Hebrews says, So that is a very badly drawn. Well, the person is lying dead, so I guess that's why they look pretty badly drawn. The book of Hebrews says, man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. That is the consequence for sin against our loving Creator. The story could end there, but it doesn't. There's more. Because of his love, God sent his Son into the world, the man Jesus. Jesus always lived under God's rule. Yet by dying in our place, so I'll draw his arms stretched out as on the cross, yet by dying in our place, Jesus took our punishment and brought forgiveness. Peter, one of Jesus' friends, one of his disciples, said, Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That is why Jesus died, to pay the penalty for our sin. He suffered for us as a swap, as a substitute. You could put the, I'll put the word swap in there. That's not all. The Bible says God raised Jesus to life again as ruler of the world. Jesus has conquered death, and he now gives new life. He can now give new life, and he will return to judge. All of those things that the Bible says are true because Jesus is the risen ruler who's in heaven with his Father. And the New Testament says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By his raising from the dead, that gives us hope for the future. Well, where does that leave us? It means there are two choices. There are two ways to live. The first way, we can reject the ruler God by trying to live life our own way without him. And if we do that, we face God's rejection, separation from God in this life, and death and hell in the life to come. The second way is that we can trust that Jesus is the ruler and the rescuer and obey him as our king. And if we do that, we are forgiven. We have life with God now and the promise of eternal life with God forever. So when I often use the Bible, there's a Bible verse that illustrates that. I'll have to look it up. What's the Bible? John 3:36. I think it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Yes, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Those are the two options. Believe in the Son, have eternal life. Reject the Son, God's wrath remains on you. And so the question that this poses for anyone that you or I might pass this message on to is, which of those two represents you? Where are you in this? You have to make that decision. So this week is week one of this six-week series, and I'm going to talk about this idea here that we started with at the beginning. And to help us get the Bible background for that, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. So if you could turn there, please. Genesis chapter 1, it's right at the beginning, as you'd expect. Sophie, if you'd come to the front to help. Okay, to liven this up, because I know it felt pretty heavy me getting the board out and drawing pictures. We've got some phrases that come up repeatedly for you to join in with. So if the men, when we get to "and God said," you can speak that out, okay? So it comes up a number of times. I will lift this up, and you all, but you see it on the text in front of you. If all the men, let's try that. Men, when I lift this up, you'll say, "And God said," ready? "And God said." Perfect. For the women, you don't have it, it doesn't come up as often, but your phrase is, it was good. Now, there's one time, two times it varies. The light was good. Ladies are clever enough to do that, to use something slightly different from what's on your board. So the light was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. And then at the very end, it was very good. When you get to those phrases, you'll know what you're doing. Sophie, let's practice. Raise it for the ladies.
It was good.
Okay, great. So Genesis chapter 1, page 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let's try that again, men. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that, the light. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, what I meant, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. There was evening and then there was morning, the second day. And God said, well done, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that
it was good.
Then God said, bit of a change for the men. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds. Have you got lost? I've missed it. Oh, did I? Sorry. Yeah, beg your pardon. Sorry, verse 14. Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that
it was good.
And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. Men. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was so. And God saw that
it was good.
God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Amen. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that.
It was good.
Then, again, men. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and
it was very good.
And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I hope that wasn't too distracting. You can end up always looking for where your next phrase is, can't you? It's quite a hard passage to read because the same phrases come up again and again, and that's part of what we emphasize by doing that exercise. Let's ask for God's help as we think about this idea, God the Maker. Father, we thank you that in the Bible you reveal to us the truth about yourself because you want us to know you. Please give us in this room a better knowing of you, a deeper trusting of you, a greater love for you, and make us better messengers to pass on the news of Jesus to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the explanation for this image that I use is the words that God is the loving ruler of the world. Use a crown because he's the ruler. He made the world. He made us rulers of the world under him. God made everything. If someone is not a believer in Jesus says to you, what is God like? You want to answer from the Bible. And the Bible begins with God is the maker. That's the first square on the board, if you like, of what God is like according to the Bible. Not God is Trinity, not God is love, God is maker. That's the basic description of him. And when Jesus' disciples, who were Jews, all Jesus' first disciples were Jews, the 12 disciples, when they went and spoke to people who were non-Jews, people without the Bible, they started by talking to them about God being the maker. Didn't talk to them about promises in the Old Testament to David and things like that. They started with God is maker of everything. God, the maker, is known by everyone, the Bible says. Everyone knows in their heart of hearts that there is a God who has made everything, but they resist that truth. They don't like that truth. They're uncomfortable with that truth. But God is the maker is the beginning of the Bible's message. It's the start of theological reflection, one person has said, which simply is a clever way of saying it's the way you start thinking about God. That's the first thoughts about God. And he proves his immense power